In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, please be seated. As I reflected on the message of today's epistle of Paul to the Philippians, an important point Paul makes in many of his letters rang true for me. Throughout this entire passage, Paul never uses a singular pronoun. All the yous in the passage are plural, which means that what God has begun in Christ Jesus is, by its very nature, a communal project. God comes to us in community because God's very nature is a community in eternal relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our day and age, our culture is largely influenced by the fundamental value of me. Remember the emphasis on the me generation? It puts everything that is our personal wants and desires as the highest value, replacing the emphasis on community. What made the greatest generation of the Depression and World War II so great is that they place the good of the community above individual wants and concerns. For them, country and God meant more than personal wants or even personal safety and well-being. These values are still held dear in our military and certain service professions, but has largely been lost in the broader sense of the culture. Today, this sense of having my own way is the issue so often at the heart of why it is so hard to get people to join groups, join churches, spend time and resources in service to the civic life of the community. What I want is the most important thing. Remember the popular hymn, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own." That hymn is not untrue. It simply only tells half of the truth. The truth is that we are God's together. The good work God has begun cannot be reduced to the life of one individual. This is why we gather in community and give to mission and building buildings. There is great work God is doing in the broader realms of culture and society. It is the world that will be redeemed. All flesh, Isaiah says, shall see the salvation of God. The message of the primacy of the community is the heart of the majority of Paul's writings. He is constantly inviting us all who claim to believe in Jesus Christ to not live as solitary beings, but beings created by and created for community. Lutheran theologian Kirsten Stendel calls this idea mutual self-abnegation. The primary work of the believing Christian is not to insist on its own way, but urgently and constantly to ask the question, what is the best good for the whole of the community and our communal life? We hear this passage probably in its most beautiful expression in Paul's treatise on love in his letter to the Corinthians when he writes, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This passage is often used at weddings to remind the couple they are entering into a bond of community, one with the other. They are no longer singular individuals, but a new body in Christ, two persons becoming one body. Married persons make up a community where the needs of both come together for the good of both and the wider community in which they live. This is true for all of us at church. We do not come here to get our own way. Rather, we are here to build up the body in love of each other and to place that body in the service of the wider world. As Paul says today, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with the knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. He means what is best for the entire community, for the good of the whole. This is why the church speaks out clearly and invites its members to address issues at the root causes in the larger world. It is why the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution on the separation of church and state enshrines the rights of faith communities to speak out powerfully to the government and its policies, but not the other way around. Most of the injustices in the world are systemic problems and not individual case problems. For example, the reason the church speaks out so strongly as an official body for a just wage is because it values the dignity of work. And the dignity of human beings is partly related to being able to earn a wage in which people can care for themselves and their families. From a Christian perspective, advocating for a raise is to help people gain self-sufficiency so they no longer have to rely on welfare or other government assistance to keep their heads above water. This is a systems issue that cannot be solved piecemeal, but requires a communal response. This is the kind of thing that Paul is constantly holding up to the young communities of Jesus' followers in the first century. It is what he is holding up for us today when we read his words. The sense of community is also deeply present when a member of the community dies. The death of a person is not something that affects only those closely related to them. It is why I have invited this morning us to remember those who have recently died. At a time of year when everyone is supposed to be happy and joyful, there are those in our midst who have difficulty being in a celebratory mood because of the death of a loved one. The death of a person affects various communities. In the death of a spouse, for example, it is a loss of the community of marriage. It is also a communal loss. My brother's identity as a happily married couple of he and his wife Lori was lost in her death this summer. He is now negotiating the world without that community and his identity as a married person, and he grieves it deeply, as do all of us in the community of my family, as well as the larger hometown community that knew her and loved her. Each of us here today have shared those experiences of loss. And so today we take a moment in the midst of the holiday cheer to acknowledge the pain and loss that coexists in the midst of community. The mystery of the Trinity we are about to proclaim in the Nicene Creed is an affirmation of the community of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is this reality from which we were created and have our being. It is the purpose we have been created. Paul reminds his readers of this deepest reality of God and us. We are first and foremost individual creatures whose purpose is to live within various communities in which God has given us. We live within the community of our families, the community of co-workers, the community of friends, the community among the neighborhoods in which we live, and in this place, the community of faith in which all aspects of life and life's various communities are honored, loved, celebrated, and ultimately remembered, as we will do today for some who have recently gone to God, leaving this earthly community for the heavenly community, which is the destiny of us all. So this day, the focus is on community, the community of our relationships in all aspects of our life, and at this service, especially within the community of faith we share. Pray with me. We give thanks, O God, for the community of yourself, reflected in every aspect of your creation, that comes to its fullest expression in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, who joined the human family to remind us to give you honor, praise, and thanksgiving for your life and your love that is by its very nature rooted in community. May we strive throughout our lives to live as fully as possible for the well-being of the community of creation you have so graciously bestowed upon us. May we live in community and be faithful stewards of the gifts you have given us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns in perfect community, world without end. Amen.